much for tuning in to another A Convo with Mo episode. It's your girl Mo Diggs, and I am here with the one, the only, Lawrence Green.
Oh, hold the applause, hold the applause, hold the applause. Hello, my beautiful kings and queens.
And that's just on period. We're missing Lindsay today, but we love her. We love you,
Lindsay. We do.
She'll probably be back next week, y'all. So don't worry. You ain't missing too much of Lynn. She'll be back next week. I'm excited for today because I feel like, you know, we're just chilling on the pod today. We're going to talk about current events. We're going to talk about our faith. We're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about everything. You know what I'm saying? Because that's just what we do over here at A Convo with Mo. Because we're in these circumstances, we're just not going to bind ourselves to a set topic. How you feel about that, Lawrence?
I'm down for it.
Yeah, we're just going to talk about what's going on. We're going to chat with you. That's why it's called A Convo with Mo. You get me?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. So the first thing that I actually want to talk about, have you been watching Insecure?
Yes. I watched the first episode of this season.
What did you think about that?
I don't think I was as mad as everybody else was on the internet.
Really? At Molly?
Yeah, because I just feel like... Molly's character, if you've been watching from the first season, has kind of digressed as a character, just in moral character, but it's kind of like, that's the show. It's called Insecure for a reason. I feel like there was time periods where Molly had it all together, and then Issa was the one coming in and just talking about all her ish that she had going on. But my biggest problem with the episode was at the end, and I felt this to my core, was when Molly finds out that Issa is working with the same girl that is dating Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, I mean, I expect higher from you. I wouldn't expect you to be this low to try to be this low. And it kind of upset me of, I feel like in friendships when... that time period where either a friend or a family member thinks a certain way about you and it gets exposed because of their perception of a particular perception about an event.
Mm.
Like Molly thinks like she's just being friends with this girl so she can either get with Lawrence or get back at Lawrence, which is so disrespectful for her to be her, for you to be my friend and for you to
you should know my like, character.
Exactly.
Wow, I didn't even get into that.
Like I just felt that on 100, like it just hit on a personal level.
So many levels.
Because I'm just like, you should know my character. And if you don't, ask for clarity. Don't just come out the side of your neck at me. So that was my issue with Molly.
I've been in situations where you don't really know how somebody feels about you until there's a situation where, you know, they have no choice but to say how they feel about you.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I feel like this was that situation because they don't really be getting into situations like this where Molly's teed or Molly's not in the, you know what I'm saying? Molly's not in the best of moods. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, no, I just want to be her friend because I'm actually over Lawrence and I actually, like, I think she's a great person. She hasn't done anything to me. You know what I'm saying? And maybe Issa has evolved. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And it's like what you want to do is you want to bring her back to who you think she is, not even who she really is.
Come on, Mo.
Yeah, I don't
give me
like
permission to grow because I feel like I've had that with two of my friends. One friend where she doesn't have the extravagant job that she has now, so she was always broke for a little bit, and she would always misuse her money. And so then when she finally got a job and it was just like now she was still like some of the habits were still there. We just assumed that she was just this type of person that was misusing her money. But sis had like umpteen thousands of dollars in her bank account because she was saving it towards something. And this whole time we thought she was just broke.
Yeah.
Or just like friends that I've had since college. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes as we now transition into our adult life, you start to think, well, you used to do this back in the day. And so this is obviously the way you
are
when that's not true. Like in relationships, you got to give permission for people to grow. I don't think that's why relationships don't last. I think sometimes our relationship with God can get a little strained.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why some marriages can have fallouts. It's because we don't give permission to grow.
I was having a conversation with like one of my mentors recently, and she was just telling me about how she was reading this book about marriage, and basically the book talked about how if you aren't like, people are going to change when you're married, right? Your husband is going to change. The person you are marrying today is not going to be the person that you're married to in 30 years. They're going to be they could probably be a completely different person, but you have to be willing to work with that growth. You know what I'm saying? And allow the growth to happen. Otherwise you're going to be in an unhappy marriage. And I feel like that's kind of happening in the friendship with Issa and Molly. It's Issa, right? I don't know why I'd be wanting to say Issa. Issa. I feel like in the relationship with Issa and Molly, Molly doesn't want Issa to level up. Like, Molly always wants Issa to be the same person who's going to gas her up and kind of be her Robin, but, like, stay in the position of Robin. Mm. Because Issa is becoming Batman, baby. She's leveling up. Mm. And Molly's like, I can never be Robin. I can never be like you.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I just feel like that's the complexities of friendship that you have to kind of work through and realize, like, you never know who's holding you back from growth. It could be your bestest friend. You know what I'm saying? It could be your significant other. It could be the devil. It's like,
he's trying to hold you back.
He always trying to hold you back. You know what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is, I think it's important to always, if you're struggling in some area, obviously self-evaluate, right?
Yeah.
But like, look in your environment. Your environment is a testament to like who you are at times. So if you feel like something is holding you back and you just can't, you know it's not you, you're really working hard, but something keeps pulling you back, you need to check out your friendships and your relationships. Because that could be the very thing. Do you know what I'm saying? Your best friend could be the very thing. Your boyfriend, your girlfriend could be the very thing. Your husband, your mom could be the very thing that is holding you back. Because let's say, I haven't seen the next episode, which just aired. Let's say Issa takes what Molly says and engraves it and starts to believe, maybe I am being her friend just to get back at. You know what I'm saying? Like, tries to basically eats the food that Molly has given her. So she's like, oh,
which doesn't make any sense for her situation.
Which doesn't make you know what I'm saying? But what if she's just like, maybe I am geeking. Maybe I am, you know, trying to do this for da 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 da. And then starts to believe in the words that Molly has spoken over her. It's like, but sis, that's not what you was doing. You know your heart. You know you were doing it with a pure heart.
Yeah.
Poor Issa.
So
I done got so emotionally invested, I need to calm down. because it's not real. This is not a real situation. We are not real people.
It ain't got a little too personal.
It ain't got a little too personal. Dang. literally. But for sure, I think it's definitely important to, if you are Molly, give your friends room to grow. You don't give your friends room to grow because you don't know who they're evolving into. And maybe if you don't want to be a part of that, then you have to step back. You know what I mean? But if you're the friend that's evolving, maybe you need to step back and realize that this person actually, we're only friends in this capacity. We can only be friends if I'm the one that's down. You know what I'm saying? Now, if I'm up, there's no room for that in this relationship. So maybe I need to cut this off. I don't know, Lauren. So we're going to see. Make sure you guys are messaging A Convo with Mo and letting us know your thoughts on what's going on Insecure, because we're really excited to see how this unfolds. Now, in the context of things airing on television, mm-hmm. Lauren's over here, watch Lifetime. And so... We're going to talk about the Clark sisters and what did that mean for you, Lawrence, that movie? Because I'm sure you kind of grew up on them.
Yeah, it was everything because it was the first time we ever seen a movie about a major gospel group.
Mm.
And then two, I grew up in the Kojic, that Black Pentecostal denomination for a majority of my life. So like the outfits, the dressings, the songs, the whole thing about the bishops and the way that they dress and their collars, mm-hmm. different things that they wore, all was bringing a sense of nostalgia for me. Just kind of like, because with gospel artists, they're like celebrities, but we don't really get to hear their background story of what's going on with them.
That's like, true. That's like, true. It don't be no tea unless it's like tea.
Big, like,
yeah, unless it's like, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. and bought them a car. But,
yeah. I'm growing. Allow me to grow. Give me room to grow, okay?
I'm going to give him room to grow. Anyways.
So it's just like
it's only when it's like major things or they say something that maybe the world doesn't like, which causes them to get ostracized. We really don't care about the background stories of gospel artists, mm-hmm. and so it was nice to see that these gospel artists that we love have similar issues, family issues, mm-hmm. sibling issues, issues with the trouble with. Dealing with of power, being a woman and trying to, you know, do your thing and family and abuse and mm-hmm. all this different stuff. Just regular schmegler, just like you and me. Just anointed. And they can sing.
Just anointed. You know what I'm saying? And they can sing. It probably takes away from like the God factor that kind of comes with some of these gospel artist, like if you're, I don't know, I know for me, like idolizing, you know, when I first got saved, I just was like, oh my gosh, like these are the holiest of holy people. Especially when you watching like Bethel, for me at least, I'm like, dang, these people don't do nothing crazy or don't be getting into nothing, you know,
mm-hmm.
Or don't be having, they just, that we know, but what I'm saying is like, obviously, and I'm not getting into nothing like smoking and drinking and all that stuff, but like they just see it. We hope not. Yeah. But they sing like there is no drama in their house. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like the worship just comes out as if there's nothing.
Pure God.
There's nothing that is holding them down. All the spirits have left. But it's just like, no, they're people just like us. They just, you know, they wake up and they just like, nah, I gotta praise through it. So I think that is really awesome. Now I have a question because I've been trying to figure out, so is Kiara Sheard one of the Clark sisters' daughters?
Yeah, she's in Kieran's real life? Daughter in real life. Mm-hmm. She played her mom.
That's actually amazing.
Yeah.
That was probably like really weird to watch. Not really weird, but like just like exciting, I guess, because you know. It's like, whoa, this is really like, this is her daughter playing her mother, no?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think everybody should go watch it. I'm going to go watch it. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm excited. And I think the way that Lawrence is talking about this movie, everybody is on Lifetime now. I just want them to put it on Netflix, because if it ain't on Netflix, I don't know if I'm going.
You got control. Lifetime going to get every bit of this coin that they can, because they haven't had a movie like this in 10 years.
And they haven't. Why is that such a thing that like Lifetime movies just be so mediocre? Like, Lifetime movies always feel like a soap opera episode. You know what I'm saying? Well, like they just feel like a long soap opera episode. Just like subpar acting and like, I don't know.
Scary to me because it's always like it's a lot of Caucasians in the movie or TV show and it's mm-hmm. like the most craziest things about killing people and they was mad mm-hmm. but you wouldn't really know it was them, but it was them the whole time. And I'd be like, people be getting kidnapped and I'm like, I can't watch this. I mean, having me scared to go outside.
I'm scared. Let's talk about quarantine.
Wait, hold on one second. One last thing I wanted to talk about with the Clark sisters. It was the fact that like gospel, like their one of their greatest hits, You Brought the Sunshine, was actually a remake to, I believe, Stevie Wonder.
Okay.
And like when I actually go back and listen to their like gospel Clark sisters album, it almost sounds like a 70s disco album, low key.
I feel like the gospel back, because you've always kind of wanted to talk about bringing like good gospel back, but I feel like they're like the, like that 70s sound, like back then, like the gospel was like, it was like borderline, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it was hitting. Like, people were listening to it, like, in the clubs. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if it hit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I just feel like we don't really have that anymore. So we stuck listening to the oldies over and over. I'm tired of listening to Stomp. I need something else. Dang.
I feel that, like, on a whole new level. But it's just, like, we have to, but, like, it's hard because what culture is saying is hot right now is, like, hip-hop and mumble rap, right?
Yeah.
And so then you got Erica Campbell coming out with "I Love God." Because that's the like the mirroring of the culture. So I think like it's kind of time for us to kind of like switch up and like get our own sound ish. Like there's this guy that I just found, and his name is like Pete Cottontail, and that's T A L E, and his sound almost sounds like. It sounds like Chance the Rapper's album, the Coloring Book one, a little bit of Kanye West. Kirk Franklin is on the album. Fred Hammond is on the album. And I think he may be a producer that is bringing like this new like R&B-ic sound, like hip-hop-ish sound, and yet the gospel all at the same time.
Yeah, we need
but see,
that.
Those kind of people be like new age ish a little bit. They don't really be classified under as gospel, although they do mention Jesus and God. So, you know, listen at your own risk.
But that don't got nothing to do with me.
That's right. Don't put my name in it because I ain't in it.
Dang, yeah, I feel like the closest thing we've gotten to that, like, I remember I was such a hater of Kanye's album. And I just feel like I'm like obsessed with the Christmas one, at least. I'm obsessed
with the Sunday service.
Yeah, because I feel like that's the closest thing we've had. And it's such a sad thing to say. Yeah. But I feel like it's like the closest. And it's not a sad thing to say because glory to God, because Kanye, you know, we'll pray for him. But I feel like it's the closest thing we've had to good gospel music in a while.
Yeah.
And I guess he's a testament to God will use the foolish things to confound the wise.
I'm dead weak.
And he's not a foolish thing. He's not. But at least in my eyes, I'm like, Kanye is not doing, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, Kanye is not doing a gospel album. Like, it can't be lit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, God is like, you thought, baby girl.
I'm dead weak.
You thought you was wise, but you the fool for real.
The joke's on you.
Joke's on you, Kanye. Bring it. Shout out to the Clark sisters and shout out to good gospel music. And let us know some of your good gospel recommendations, like what you're kind of vibing on right now in this quarantine. Because I feel like, I'm not going to lie, how do you feel like this quarantine has affected your relationship with God?
I feel like, in a sense, I've gotten closer in a sense, or not really closer, but just more like building on the discipline. So I've definitely been making sure I've been reading. And then in those time periods, during the time periods where I do slack, it's just like, okay, get back to reading, get back to praying, make sure I'm still engaging online with my brothers and sisters in Christ, and make sure I'm reaching out. In those sense.
Yeah, I feel like I had like an awakening that's like, hey, remember you got like, you kind of got burnt out because you didn't really have time? Well, now you do.
Yeah.
Like, you can wake. So like the same way that like I've gotten really into skincare and just caring about my body and my health and like my women's health. Now I feel like God is like, now take care of your spiritual health. Like, you have time to pray all night. Wake up, pray all morning. You also have time to read your Bible before class, because class
all afternoon.
All afternoon. Like, and it just feels so freeing. I'm not even joking. Like, I don't know what it is, but I love it. I praise God for it, because I literally look forward to my nightcap with the Lord. I'm like, all right, when it comes to nighttime, I'm going to pray. Pray. And I wake up in the morning, I'm like, whoo, guess what? It's time to pray. And then I'm like, let me go and wash my face and take care of my skin. And I'm like, oh yes, I'm sitting at my desk. Let me read my Bible. Like, it feels so childlike. But like, I love it. I love it so much. I'm like, wow, Lord, like spending time with you is not a burden to, like, in this time. It's not, and it's never a burden. It should never be a burden. But sometimes, y'all, I'm telling you, you guys have heard me say it, like, it'd be a lot to wake up and go pray. But like now I'm like, ooh, set an alarm. I'm gonna wake up and pray and go back to sleep because I got all the time in the world. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, that's just where I'm at right now. And I pray that God is able to create. I think what is coming out of this and what will come out of this is me allotting myself more time to myself. So, you know, with the hustle and bustle of your days, you are rushing to school or you're rushing to work and you're rushing. But you don't necessarily have to rush. Like, there's time in the day for you to wake up early and do what you got to do. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like with this, God is going to teach me how to just allot time to myself appropriately. Like, okay, Mo, you got class at 10. All right. Now it's time for you to wake up at, you know, 8, spend an hour. Because, you know, now I know it actually takes me like 35 minutes to be in, like, take a nice shower, you know what I'm saying, get myself together. Now I know I'm capable of praying for 30 minutes, you know what I'm saying? Like, now I know it. So, like, it's like, Mo, you actually need 30 minutes to spend time with God. It's not like, oh, I'll get it done in 5, you know what I'm saying? Like, you actually need, you know, 40 minutes to take a shower and do your skincare. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just rush it in 20 minutes and then be done. Like, if you really want to get it in, this is how long it actually takes you. And so I think that when quarantine is lifted, God willing, I'll be able to diligently allot time to myself and what I need to get done, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I kind of, what I hope for people in this time, because I think quarantine feels like a Friday and a Saturday. Mm-hmm. But eventually, when they start releasing and breaking down all the phases, when the virus starts to come back down, it's going to start to feel like a Sunday night. And then we get back to the Monday routine of how it was before quarantine. Mm-hmm. And my hope and my desire is that we will take the same intimacy that we had, the same desire that we had during quarantine that is being built and that's being the foundation that's being set, and we will carry it into after what will come after the quarantine. Granted, you may have had 45 minutes when you were in quarantine. But now when you're back in the routine of having to go to class and having to go to work and then having to go to here and then having to do this meeting and having to do this business meeting, you may not have that 45 minutes.
Minutes. That's true.
So just being able to also making time, not saying that, you know, don't do it at all, but like making time and then can just allowing to seek God in everything and talking to him about everything. I think that's something I want to learn during this quarantine, because for me, I'm still working. Like, life really has been affected because I'm in healthcare. So it's kind of like, God, how
can I? You're on the front line. Salute.
I'm so gently. More like on the bench because I didn't switch positions, but it's okay. We still somewhere in the vicinity.
I'm
so I'm just like, but just like, you know, praying and really just seeking God about everything, about every little thing, about talking to God on a daily basis. So even when I'm washing my face or when I'm in the shower or those things. And then also too, having that dedicated time, because nothing will ever beat that dedicated time where you be like, you know what? I'm removing everything. And it's just me and you, God. And I just give you permission to just do whatever in this. In this time.
That's good, Lawrence. That's good. Can I get an amen from the audience? I love it. I love it. I love it. Can I get an amen from the listeners?
You in the car. You in the job.
They ain't in the car. They ain't in the car. They in the house.
I hope so.
You in the kitchen. You in the bath. Can I get an amen? I'm so weak. But y'all know y'all here for it. Let me know what y'all think about everything we talked about. The Teddy Riley versus Babyface battle. If you guys saw it, what was your favorite songs? Mention us on Twitter, hashtag #AConvoWithMo. And slide in our DMs. We love talking to y'all. Y'all know we always respond in the DMs. What'd you guys think about the Clark Sisters documentary, Insecure, giving your friends room to grow, okay? That's a gem from here. That you heard it here first, okay? As well as the Jordan documentary. Let us know what you guys think. I am signing out. Lauren Screen, tell them where to find you.
You can find me at A King Since Birth on everything.
And you guys can find me at Mo Digga as well as at A Convo with Mo on Instagram. And what else? I think that's it. yeah, okay. All right, bye guys. We're signing out in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Period.